The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Thank God it's Friday!
Welcome to your weekend. Welcome to Parade Friday here at K-Rock in sunny Southern California. Dodgers victory parade details, what roads to avoid, and how you can get onto one of the buses, the double-decker buses, and ride with the players. The only way to do that is to dress like one of the players, put on that Dodgers jersey you were wearing last night for Halloween, and sneak onto the bus. We got lots to get to this hour. Johnny doesn't know Dodgers. This man was celebrating like he had been a fan his entire life. And if you ask him, he will say he's been a fan his entire life. But then we were asking some very basic questions, and we don't know if Johnny knows anything about the Dodgers. So we'll get into that this hour on the show. Also, the Box of Shame. And as you can probably see from Instagram, the second that the Halloween pictures start going away, the I voted sticker pictures start. They've already started. As you know, the election's on Tuesday.
And there's more stickers than ever.
They have really upped their sticker game. And I know that the voting is a responsibility and a privilege, and you should be voting for the future of this country. But I think these days, it seems like a lot of people are prioritizing the sticker more than anything else. So we will get into that and so much more. If you need us, we are Klein Alley Show on K-Rock. Phone's always open for you at 800-520-1067. Happy Friday. You kind of think to yourself, once you grow up, there's certain things you don't care about anymore that you did care about as a child. When you're a child, getting a sticker is, that's good currency right there.
Oh, God, that is a huge motivator now in our house.
Yeah, like it lasts for a little bit, and then you just start to realize that one day the currency of the sticker means nothing anymore. And I remember,
when you realize you can get them on Amazon, you're like, oh, well, these aren't special.
Well, there was a time when, like, you go to Trader Joe's, I'd have my kids with me, and they'd be like, the kids want stickers, and the kids would go like, they'd be like, are you serious?
Oh, and they give you like a roll there. They give you a bunch.
Now, lately, I mean, in just the last few months, they're like, nah, we don't want them. Like, keep them. And it's like, wow, they just really lost the value of the sticker.
And it's like a sticker of like squash.
Right. Never good. But in the world of being an adult, I don't know if there's a more valuable, more coveted, or at least more bragger sticker than the once every 4 years I voted sticker. It lets everyone know I did my civic duty. I either sent in my early ballot, or I went and waited, went to the early voting centers. And I don't even think a lot of people posted and let people know who they voted for. I think it's a lot less of a, hey.
I think it's much easier to just say, I voted, go out and vote,
right.
Because they feel like that's what's going to help their cause. But I have noticed a lot of different types of I voted stickers. They're branching out. Because there are some people that had an I voted early sticker.
Early on the sticker?
It said early. Hmm. Yeah, it's like a flex sticker, like I voted before you.
Wow, you know? That is a flex.
And it's funny to see all these posts that have been popping up on my feed of people who have been voting early, but then it's also like mixed in with them as like a sexy werewolf.
No, that's cool.
But it's
too.
Also like, get out there and vote, guys. And then I also was seeing specific to where they were from stickers. Like, I voted in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
I voted in...
Well, as you know, some of the swing states, those stickers are maybe...
It's a primo vote.
That's as good as the sticker gets, because I voted in California.
My sticker's more important than your sticker, because
right.
I voted in Michigan.
I voted in a state that actually matters.
Yeah.
Whereas our California stickers could say... Doesn't really matter one way or another, but I voted. It's just really what the sticker could say.
I used to have a sticker that says, my vote doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure. I went through the process. I did the whole thing. I sat in that little box and everything else, but what for what? Just for the sticker.
I took time off for voting, but voted by mail, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, like I would like the stickers to be a little... I would like you to have a choice, at least, of like the 20 options of stickers, and maybe we could improve some of the ones that says things like, told my boss I was voting just to get the day off, but ended up going to Santa Monica instead, so...
That's here's so much on one sticker.
But I'm wearing a sticker, so people will think. Because I don't think a lot of... Like, you know, once you see that red, white, and blue sticker, everyone just assumes it says...
I voted.
And for some reason, when I do see the people walk by me with the sticker and I have yet to vote, I do feel a little less than them. Like, they are... It's not the equivalent of a black belt in karate.
They prioritize their country over you, who's prioritizing, like, what you're having for lunch.
Yeah, like, I'm wearing my squash sticker from Trader Joe's, and they're wearing their I voted
Thank
sticker.
You for your service.
And I think that we're both going, like, all right, in this sticker face-off, you win this round.
Well, and I also, because I voted by mail... I have the sticker, and I have a choice as to what I want to do with the sticker and when I want to wear the sticker, or to not use the sticker at all.
Like,
I think about Wesley would really value this sticker more than I would, because a sticker's a sticker.
Sticker's a sticker, but kids also, especially his age, it could put it in their hair, they could put it on a piece of furniture, they could put it right in the middle of your TV.
He loves putting them on windows lately.
Yeah, really stickers are...
The worst.
and some of them, I don't know, they don't all use the same level of adhesive. Some of that adhesive is like the world's strongest material.
Oh my God.
You'll never get it off.
Yeah, sometimes if they put them really good on your arm, they can stick there for days.
Yeah, good. Let everyone know for generations to go that you voted back in 2024.
So do I put on the sticker on voting day? Do I put on the sticker the day that I drop off the ballot? The day that they email me and say, hey, your ballot's been counted? What do I do with the at-home I voted sticker?
I mean, just wear it around your own house? It's kind of sad.
I only wear it around my house.
It's really sad at that point.
A little parade in your house?
Yeah.
Once again, I don't know. And I think that of all the things to give someone, like you think about it, we just did that blood drive last week, and... I gave
blood. Be nice to me.
No, but I don't think we gave out stickers. We gave out things people actually want, like packets of Oreos and Uncrustables and that sort of thing. Like the I voted
Uncrustable.
Oh, man,
Uncrustable, if everyone could get an Uncrustable after they voted.
I think that would change everything. I think voter turnout would be at an all-time high. And I'm not necessarily saying the people that are choosing president based on if they get an Uncrustable or not are the right people to pick president. But still.
But still, you got red in there. Yeah, you got blue or gray.
Yeah,
you know?
Red or blue Uncrustable after you vote.
Illegal, though.
It's illegal, yes, because it's voter suppression or whatever it is.
Electioneering.
Yeah. But the sticker is not illegal, and that's also, once again...
A free thing.
That's a free thing. So they've just decided that the sticker, people care about it, but don't care about it enough that it matters?
Yeah, and if you think about it, the line outside... Like, free food motivates. Free anything motivates, right? You see the line outside of any 7-Eleven on Free Slurpee Day, and that is a very large line. And imagine how much bigger the voter lines would be if you got a free Slurpee or a free anything for voting.
I know a guy, it's not me, that would wear an I voted sticker and never voted.
Well, and I voted freebies are a thing, too. If you walk into certain places, they give you perks. They'll give you free stuff. Show them the sticker.
So a lot of people, the benefit for them is like, oh, I just got free guacamole. And it's like, really? Because you voted? Well, no, but I got the sticker.
No, I have a sticker, though.
So the power of the sticker, you're going to be seeing a lot of. You already have been, but you'll be seeing a lot more of them. And the good news is with just an easy printer and a little Photoshop work, you can make your own. Or you could actually...
You can buy them on Amazon,
could
guys.
Actually vote.
Get a roll on Amazon?
Coming
yeah.
soon, guys. Coming soon, the I voted Uncrustables. Let's go ahead and make that a thing by 2028 or whatever the next election is. We'll take a quick break. More show after this. Allie, if this is actually the man who claims to be on the phone right now, I will be surprised and shocked because this man has been the biggest trash talker of the Dodgers. Probably his entire life, but most recently, at least on our show, reached out to us right as the Dodgers started their postseason baseball run against the Padres. And every time he convinced us that the Dodgers suck and the Dodgers are going to fall apart and this is what the Dodgers do, the Dodgers figured out a way to turn it around. And as much as we've accused you of being a mush, I think that Roger the Dodger hater... may be an even bigger mush, because as much hate as he brought against the Dodgers, he somehow inspired our entire audience, and I think maybe even inspired the team.
I think people were rooting extra hard for the Dodgers. Like, people who were Dodger fans were rooting extra hard simply because they wanted to piss off Roger.
Yeah, in fact, look, a lot of the calls we've received on the goal line celebrating the World Series victory don't even say, go Dodgers. They say, F you, Roger.
Hey, old Klein Alley, was Roger the Dodger hater at, man? I thought we were supposed to lose today.
I mean, it's just a lot of people that were, like, excited, of course, about the winning of the Dodgers, but they were more excited about how wrong Roger the Dodger hater was.
Let's go, Dodgers, baby!
Now, if you remember the last time he was on with us, which was, I think, just before Game 5, the game that the Dodgers ended up winning the World Series, he did make a prediction, a weather prediction, about what would happen here in Southern California after a Game 7.
You guys are going to experience some wet weather. That's after Game 7. That's not actual rain. That's tears of cholos.
Okay.
Cholos will be crying into their Dodger
uniform. All right,
uniform.
There you go. A weather forecast from Roger the Dodger hater.
Cholo tears are on the horizon.
So he claimed that we would have cholo tears on the horizon, and then, of course, the Dodgers did what the Dodgers did, and we didn't think we'd ever hear from this guy again, but apparently right now on line 6 is the man known as Roger the Dodger hater, I assume heading to the parade right now. Is that true, Roger?
I would never associate with those miscreants that are destroying your city right now. I apologize. I did not call yesterday. I should have. I should have took my lumps. Hating is a year-round proposition, but I had to secure my home. I had to go to Home Depot.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I had to go to the gun store and buy extra ammo.
Sure.
I had to buy a bulletproof vest because you guys do not know how to celebrate.
Right.
You guys know how to destroy your city.
Mm. Okay, but Roger, before you go attacking, I know where you're coming from. When the Giants won the World Series, everyone set a muni bus on fire. So I think that's just kind of a thing for everybody in California.
I have to see video of that.
Okay.
I don't believe any of that. Those things.
Let me ask you before we play some of the many messages that have been left on the goat line for you, like this one.
Roger.
I mean, there's no shortage of hate.
Very short champ, but it was a champ.
This was not a champ, but this was a message for Roger the Dodger hater.
Hey, Roger, you're lucky you're not next to me right now, because if you were, I would bend you over and rip a big old fart right on your face, brother.
Wow.
Give you pink eye.
Wow. That's just some of the many thoughts that were waiting on the goat line. You fired up a lot of people.
A lot of very mature, intelligent people.
Yes, smart geniuses upset.
Those are the people that are going to be at the parade, so I will not be there.
Suck it, Roger the Dodger hater. You suck. I hope you're watching the game, and I hope you're crying tears. We hate you, Roger the Dodger hater.
God.
Suck it.
Okay.
That was one of the nicer messages. Do you like it that you fired up so many people and they have such actual visceral hate towards you?
I am very excited. I'm elated that I'm able to bring people together. That's mm-hmm. what the city needs.
It needs me
to bring them together to hate one individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's magical what I've done.
Collectively.
Yeah, this message is for Roger the Dodger hater. How about you go Roger yourself, you absolute goober? Oh. If the Dodgers are the Raiders of baseball, then you're the Jake of Chippendales. Sit down.
So, I mean, it's...
Wait, I don't like that one.
There's a lot of different messages that have... that want, you know, everyone to know how they truly do feel about you.
Okay, so this message is for Roger the Dodger hater. I am actually watching the live footage right now of...
People are just... You've haunted people.
Shenanigans going on in the streets of L.A.
I hope you live in L.A.
Because I
am the Senator Palpatine.
All right, well, listen, what would you like? We said that if the Dodgers ended up winning the World Series, we would give you an opportunity to explain that you know nothing and that the Dodgers are the best team in baseball right now. And I don't know if you even looked at the odds for next year, but they're also the favorites to win the World Series next year. So what would you like to say now? Rod, we've given you way too much airtime during this entire series. And you've been wrong.
You love it. You're going to miss me.
No. Allie,
I think we will.
We're going to miss Roger. Well, maybe he hates
something
else.
I'm going to miss Roger, and also you can still call in and hate the Rams, right, Roger?
Yeah, he can hate a lot of things.
Uh, I, I can hate on any LA sports team, right, including the soccer team that nobody watches and the lady basketball. I can do that.
Good
for you guys.
Good for you, Roger.
A few sparks. Don't hit them when they're down.
That's a lot of hate, Roger.
The Dodger hater. Stick it up your stanky ass.
Okay. A lot of angry calls for you.
Animals. Savages.
All right. What would you like to say? This will be the final time we give you airtime to go ahead and either apologize or congratulate. This is Roger, the Dodger hater, spent many, many times telling us why we would lose to the Mets, why we would lose to the Padres, why we would lose to the Yankees, why L.A. was just a giant team of choke artists, and now is an opportunity as we get ready for the big parade in L.A. later today. What would you like to say? Go ahead, Roger.
I would like to congratulate the Los Angeles Dodgers on the collapse of the New York Yankees.
Okay.
It's their fault. Also, my fault. Like I said, I didn't watch all the game. When I left to work that night, they were winning 5-0.
Oh, man.
I checked back. It's my fault. I apologize to the New York Yankees and the entire East Coast. I want to tell the fans of the Dodgers, please do not destroy your city. I don't need the traffic when I'm coming home from work. I don't need the traffic. I need you guys to keep it together. I need the city of Los Angeles to not sell Mexican beer today. And that's not racist. I am Mexican. I would like to tell you guys to not sell any sort of Mexican beer during this parade or celebration or destruction of your fair city. It already looks like everybody's camping there. So, hey, I want to let you guys know that you guys, your ratings on K-Rock have probably went up about 15% every time I'm on because people want to hate, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
I bring people together.
We have evidence that shows the opposite.
I'm going to cry. All right, it's
thank
so
you.
Beautiful, Roger.
That's Roger the Dodger.
Roger the Dodger hater?
All right, we got to go. Roger the Dodger hater, you've made your point. You took your lumps like a real man, and as much as people really do hate you, you're getting a lot of love on the text line that says, boy, I've never loved to hate anyone more than this guy right here. So
yeah,
there you go.
And it's really great that they don't know where you live yet and that your house is protected.
You know what? That's why. I mean, you can see the only house in the block that... If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So that's what I do. I stay ready for the city. A bunch of animals, maniacs. I tell you, do not try to shoot the police.
Okay, thank you. That's Roger the Dodger hitter. What a beautiful quote to end on. And enjoy the off season, and we'll see you for spring training.
Oh, you're gonna.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear from me soon.
K-Rock, we're your Klein Alley show. If you think about your life for just a moment, there are times when you've done things that you probably deeply regret. Maybe there's even things you've done that you haven't told anyone about because they're super shameful. You got a couple friends from college that maybe remember the story, but for the most part, you hope that every year less and less people remember it and you can just be like, yep, let's go ahead and forget that as a distant memory of a shameful thing that took place because I drank too much tequila or I ate mushrooms and we'll never speak of it again. We, on the other hand, take all of our deepest, darkest, most shameful secrets, write them down on pieces of paper, put them in this box that sits in the back office, and it is called the Box of Shame.
The Box!
What's in the box?
Of shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
All right. This person. Whoa, did this happen last night? This person stole an entire bag of candy from a child.
Whoa.
While trick-or-treating. That
messed
was
up, bro.
Not me. Thought about it. I was running real low last night.
You
in the
thought
trick or
about
tr-
it?
Well,
why would you think about
well,
that?
Well, I'll tell you, Omar. I was running real low last night on rations, and the flood of kids weren't stopping, and I was like...
So you're going to go, look over there, and then just take
first
their
thought
candy?
Is, yeah, you're going to jack a kid?
It was not my first thought to jack a kid, but I was thinking...
It's definitely a lot closer than Vaughn's.
It was way more convenient.
Yeah, that is true.
I was just thinking if, every once in a while when they stop to kind of look at my dwindling rations, if I could just reach in and grab handfuls at a time, I could, make up you know, make up for my shortfall.
Right.
You know what happened to me last night is that I put out the, you know, two bowls, two huge bowls of candy, please take one sign that my kids made, and one stupid teenager about a half hour into trick-or-treating took the entire thing, and other trick-or-treaters came to the door and replenished my supply.
Wow.
What? Wow.
Yep.
So they donated candy to give you a full bowl?
They donated candy. Not a full bowl, but every trick-or-treater that would come and notice that everybody that my candy was stolen, they would put a couple of pieces of the crappy candy. But they still would put the candy in my bowl.
Maybe your sign...
That made me feel nice.
Maybe, Omar, your sign was misleading, because if you had two giant bowls of candy and it said, please take one...
One bowl.
Maybe maybe someone thought they could take one bowl.
Maybe
bad language right there. That's very cool, and also
still so funny that they gave you the crappy
candy.
Though.
Yeah, it was the crappy candy.
Yeah,
Smarties, lollipops that have no brand name. You
right?
Know?
Oh yeah, the brandless pops. These things are weighing them down. They don't.
And they're
want
so
that.
Tiny.
All right, let's get to it. Who did this? This was not me. Someone stole
it. Definitely not me.
Someone stole an entire bag of candy.
Wait. Does your own kid count?
Well, no, because I think that's...
Okay.
No, I don't think so. This was not your handwriting.
But I don't think
either.
I put that in
Who
there.
Did this? Hello?
The good news is it wasn't last night. It was years and years ago when I was a teenager.
Still a teenager? How old was
I? A young teenager, like 13, 14.
And you stole a bag from another teenager or like a young kid?
Yeah, like a younger, like a kid's my age, younger brother. And it was because my... he egged me on to do. He's like, if you steal a bag, then I'll steal a bag, and then we'll have so much candy at the end of the night. I was like, okay, yeah. And so we hid in a bush, and I waited for this little kid to walk by me, and I just snagged this bag and ran as fast as I could, like around the block, because I was scared that for some reason I was scared the cops were going to get called.
I know. We have like such a weird fear of the cops when you're like 7 years old, 7 to 15. You're like, oh, my God, I'm going to get arrested for
Jake,
everything.
To date, that kid is probably, that's like probably a core memory. I mean, like, your kid's probably all effed up now still from that moment.
I felt like when you're a kid, that was like the most scared you ever were, having your bag stolen by like bigger kids
on
Halloween night.
What a traumatic experience. And what if he's so messed up like... You know, like Klein said, and that he's making up for lost time, and then he has like an overdose on sugar, and he gets diabetes, and like, you know, goes blind like Charlie.
You should try to track that kid down, show up now all these years later, and just give him a big bag of candy, say you're sorry for. Does he know it was you, or did ever, or no?
His brother said he knew it was me on the bus because no one else could run that fast. Because I ran, like, I was, you know, track star, so I ran. I took off as fast as I could as soon as I stole it.
Right.
But the bright side is the guy who egged me on to do it now has a meth addiction, so it kind of worked out.
Huh. I just got robbed by that big-breasted track star.
Yeah.
He stole all my...
That 13-year-old with giant breasts stole my candy.
You see how he jiggles?
I'm mad, but I'm also strangely turned on right now. So do you feel bad about that or not
totally,
really?
Totally, yeah. It was like totally not my character. Like, I didn't want to do it, but like I said, my friend egged me on, and at that time, you're susceptible to peer pressure.
What'd you do with the stolen candy? Eat it?
Yeah, we dumped it out into like his bedroom floor at his house later, and we divided it up. And I was like, I was kind of pissed because he was supposed to do it too, and then he chickened out.
Hmm.
Well, now he's probably robbing a lot of people if he has a bad meth addiction.
Totally, I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah.
So that was one of your first earliest memories of committing a crime, stealing an entire bag from a victim.
Yeah, it's total dick move. I hate it.
It's all also sad because you don't just take the candy, you're taking the container, too. So you can't even continue to
I grabbed
it
like his pillowcase.
You don't even have a way to get more.
I mean, it feels, when you're a child on Halloween, and it feels like you put in, let's say, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, ringing, it's not hard work, but it feels like it. You're ringing doorbells, you're grabbing stuff, you're making choices. It feels like that's your entire nest egg. That's everything you've earned in your life is right there in
that bag. Yeah, trying to make your year in one night.
And then
periodically you stop and you kind of check your stash, see how you're doing.
Man, this is good right here. All right, I'm a little heavy on the M&Ms. I gotta
balance it out with
something
else.
Gotta balance it out. Need to diversify my portfolio. And then Jake goes in there and grabs it like a total ass. Runs off.
Software. It sucks. All right. Sorry, dude.
You're cleansed, Jake. News now that a brand new hour of the show, complete with Johnny Doesn't Know Dodger stuff. We'll get into all of that. Chances for you to win amazing prizes from your friends right here at K-Rock on a Friday morning. But first...
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News. Does anyone know my password? It's something something 69.
All right, when you combine Halloween celebrations with Dodger celebrations, there's going to be more celebrating today. The parade starts at 11 downtown. You end up with an uptick in crime and therefore an uptick in police chases. There have been many this week for many different reasons. Just the other day, there was a Mercedes going the wrong way on the 405. But the best one happened in South L.A., and this involved a silver sedan. There were some people that were holed up, barricaded in their own place because they were wanted for armed robbery. And then this was the, okay, I'll just get in this car and, you know, escape. And then at one point, she slammed into another random driver and then eventually got out on foot. But in this case, in some chases, it's cool. You can kind of see how fast the car can go and what it can do. It's pretty impressive. But in this case, the actual person was impressive.
Behind the wheel. Whoa! Oh-ho! And that is the end of that. Maybe.
Maybe. Love that guy.
Great reporting.
Oh, man, that's good.
It continues.
Okay, doors are open. Driver's out on the run. It definitely is a she right there making that run.
We
right
say that
there.
Every day when Allie gets to work. It's the same exact line we say.
I know, it really is. And that's the end of that. Maybe that's a girl. Maybe that's a girl. We're not sure.
It, definitely that it is a she.
That's a lot of things.
And Allie goes, good morning.
Similar statements.
Definitely is a she right there. Making that run right there. Keeping it moving along. LAPD, I don't know if the, you know what? I have a feeling. Wow, this lady can run.
She was running fast.
Dude,
and then
yeah,
you're like,
I
maybe
mean,
she will get away.
She needs, like, the Olympics or somebody needs to contact this girl. I don't know exactly what crime she committed, but man.
It must have been important if she was running that fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was armed robbery.
Yeah, that's where you really
that's
start.
That's not a big deal. It's fine.
Yeah, but I think really when start... you commit armed robbery, you have to be a good runner anyway, right? I mean, yeah. That's kind of a running
don't have
crime.
To be, but helpful if you have that. You know,
you either have a getaway car or you're running. You have to yeah. be good at both of those.
You know me. I love a good chase. Love a chase. But when the chase jumps from vehicle to vehicle, it gets even better. And then when it jumps from vehicle to vehicle to foot, it is the greatest.
Yeah.
It's nothing better.
There's
than
so
that.
Many helicopters and so many cars around you, and you're like, I can still get out of this.
Well, I wish I remembered it. It's definitely a top five chase for me. You know, I love chasers. I'm in a whole text group about chasers. We're always alerting each other when there's a good chase. There was one that was a car, then they got out and ran. Then they got into another car.
Cool.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, that's nice. It also, I think maybe it's relatable in like a Grand Theft Auto kind of way.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there in Grand Theft Auto where you're like, all right, I'm on foot now. There are cops all around me. I got to figure out how am I going to get out of this. I'm probably going to get killed any second. But then you actually can get it into another car or a motorcycle or something and take off and actually beat the cops. It's a beautiful feeling.
But I've lived in L.A. almost 20 years. And before I first moved to L.A., there's very few things I knew about L.A. Obviously, grew up a Lakers fan, knew that sort of stuff. But, like, I knew that L.A. was the land where police chases were plentiful. Mm-hmm. And I knew that going in. I think at one point I had purchased a DVD from, like, an overnight commercial that was, like, the world's greatest police chases.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was just the most
the coolest
compelling
thing ever.
Yeah, and a lot of that was, like, L.A. stuff. I thought it was nothing better. And to be here and know that this is happening all around me, oh it's so exciting.
That's right where you want to be.
It's exhilarating.
Well, you know what?
I'd love to get in a chase one. I really would. I wish you could have an experience, like a full-on police chase experience, minus the whole going to jail and smashing into a
breaking the law and, you know, injuring innocent people. All right, people love to blame the kids for bad trick-or-treating behavior, but what I noticed last night, it was my first time trick-or-treating in a neighborhood since I was, like, 12 years old. A lot of the adults were way more annoying.
Yes.
And thanks to Ring doorbell cameras, we now have proof of the dickery that happens. And you know some people will leave a bowl of candy if they're outside, if they're not home. Omar did that. He got his candy jacked. But sometimes people will do that just take one sign, which you also had, right, Omar?
What's that?
You also had the just take one sign outside.
I did, yep.
So this dad was taking his daughter trick-or-treating. They walked up to an unattended bowl, and here is the example he decided to set.
Open the bag. Come on. There you go. See this?
Oh,
let's go. Come on, hurry.
Oh, my God. That's a whole bowl. Even the kid is saying the same right.
Dad. But it's also, he kind of sounds like a really nice guy. Like, come on, honey. Come
here
on.
Here we go. Let's go.
Come on, we're moving it along.
Yeah, that's next level messed up.
I saw a lot of adults that were complaining about the candy selections, asking for specific candies for their kids, getting mad when the people didn't have any more candy, and I heard an adult tell her kid, to go. She was like, go up to that house. And he was like, I did already. And she was like, well, go again.
They'll never know.
I was like, oh my God.
I had a mom that tried to trade me some pretzels from a previous house for something I had at my situation. And I said,
whoa.
I said, you don't have to give me anything. You just take it. She's like, oh, we've already taken, but we want more from your stuff because you got the good stuff.
Whoa.
And I was like, I don't really want one rogue bag of pretzels here. You can keep them.
But she was just going to hand you pretzels.
Yeah, she just wanted to do it. She wanted to trade me her garbage for my good stuff.
Wow. All right, no one has good grammar anymore. You can thank your phone for that. We are experiencing a slow death of punctuation. Nobody knows how to spell anything. And even speaking or writing emails with correct grammar is happening less and less. But according to a new study, Vanessa can get away with it and all of us can't.
That's right.
People with accents, especially from countries where English is not the primary language, are often forgiven for their bad grammar way more than anybody else. So if Klein were to send a misspelled or misworded email using the wrong there, your boss would judge you, and they would not judge Vanessa.
Mm.
Makes sense.
All because she's got this sweet accent?
Winner's initials.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
But I think that, Vanessa, you obviously... Yes, you have an accent, but you grew up here.
Okay, Ali, don't let it... Give me this. I need the grammar. I need the bad grammar.
How long have you been, Vanessa, how long have you been in America? Like 6 months or?
No, since I was 10.
Oh.
I don't know why I still have an accent. I don't know why I'm that English.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do live, it's like you live by yourself, right? So you're just hearing your own self is the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's so sad.
Well, no, I'm saying sometimes.
Well, it's because you're alone. Listen, don't ever.
I have a lot of friends that still have thick accents because they live with family, and the family has even thicker accents because usually the further up the family tree you go, the thicker the accents get.
No, I think this is the rule. Like, if you come to this country and you're in double digits, you're going to have an accent. But if you're in one digits, you're not going to have an accent. Like, my brother does not have an accent because he was 7 when he came here. Mm. But I was 10. Double digits, so accent.
And you believe that his lack of accent is why he is the extreme success that he is today, and you're stuck hanging out with
us
every morning?
I'm not successful. He's more rigid. I don't know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have learned over the course? Like, the accent is one thing. If you're in school and learning and writing papers
got great
and
grades,
all
the- guys. C's and B's, baby. C's and B's.
C's and B's are not great grades.
She definitely still has her letters mixed up. Are they different?
I think she thought C was like, yes. C, yes.